TV travel presenter Samantha Brown takes your emails at radio@ricksteves.com as we look for Europe in North America. Travel writer Cheney Kwok tells us how the Norwegian cruise ship he was on met a freak winter cyclone that came close to turning into a major disaster. And we're reminded what a fierce beauty camping out in Iceland can be, coming up on today's Travel with Rick Steves. Who says you have to actually go to Europe to get a taste of the old world? After all, many American and Canadian cities and towns were settled by European immigrants. Sometimes they tried to recreate a bit of what they knew from the old country. So even if we can't go to Europe, we can discover a bit of it right here in our hemisphere. Samantha Brown hosts the public television travel series Places to Love, where she films from destinations both around the world and closer to home. She joins us today on Travel with Rick Steves to look at some of her favorite places to find a bit of Europe in America. Samantha, thanks for joining us.
Ah, pleasure to be here, Rick.
Boy, you know, all I do is go to Europe again and again and again, but I realize there's a lot of Europe hiding out here in the United States. We can find little knockoffs here in the United States from all around the globe. Knockoffs because some of them are touristic kind of constructions, and others are honest-to-goodness immigrant communities that are still the way they were 150 years ago when they were settled. Just in my state, Washington, we've got Leavenworth, which is a famous little German thing, and it's kind of a touristy gimmick. But Paulsbo is originally a Norwegian town, and it's Norwegian to this day. And we have Linden up by the Canadian border, which is very Dutch and was settled by Holland immigrants. What are your favorite slices of Europe in America?
Well, one of my favorites is a city that I had gone to my entire life. My family was brought up right outside of it. And then after doing 2 years of Europe, came back to, and it just hit me like a ton of bricks that this was a European city. And that is Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. It is by far the most, for me, the most European city in the United States. And so then I started to like do a deep dive. Like, why is this? It was just a feeling I had. I'm like, wow, I just feel like I'm in Europe. And there were so many connections. One of the main architects was an emigrant from Lyon, France. He designed the Benjamin Franklin Parkway, which is now where all the museums are lined. And he designed that off of the Champs-Élysées.
Huh.
And along this beautiful roadway, parkway, where there are museums, there's the Rodin Museum.
Mm-hmm.
There's the Philadelphia Museum of Art, which has the largest collection of Renoir in the world. Incredible. And there's Rittenhouse Square. There are all these, not just pockets, because I think, you know, there's places we'll talk about today that have pockets, but this is a city that is just so of France. And the best connection that I love about Philadelphia is that it is also, it has the most mural arts, I think, in the world. And its sister city is Lyon. So if you ever go to Lyon, France, and the Croix Rouge is where you see those phenomenal murals and that art that is available to all, and it's all over the city, that's what the two share. So the city of brotherly love is a great city if you want that European, and more specifically, French, you know, kick.
You've identified actual European design elements that are mm-hmm. just, I mean, why couldn't a great European city designer come in and help plan an American city and give it what works in Europe? I think Washington, D.C. has a lot of that.
Sure. Yeah, Pierre L'Enfant, right?
Yeah.
Wasn't he the architect of that? But yeah, so there's all these. And I don't think in France they have the cheesesteak like Philly does, or the steak of fromage.
Cheesesteak fromage.
It's got its own food, but, you know, it's definitely one of these places that give you an exact feel through architecture, through art, and also public works that I think Europe is really well known for that also this American city has.
And there's also the dimension that will be brought to a city by a big immigrant community. I'm fascinated when I travel around the country. I can tell what the immigrant history of a town is by how the people I talk to in my different speaking gigs advocate for me making a TV show. You know, when I go to when I go to Cleveland, I always get people from Lithuania and Estonia for some reason saying, "Why don't you ever go to the Baltics?" I hope we don't lose that. My grandpa used to hang out in Ballard in Seattle. He came over on the boat from Norway. It was a treasure for him to go to the Danish cafe and hang out there and have his Danish and speak Scandinavian with his Scandinavian friends, you know, speak in his old Norwegian. And if you're an old timer, you'd joke about Ballard as the, you know, all the Norwegian jokes there or something. But today, if you went to Ballard, you wouldn't really recognize it. The jokes just don't work anymore because in one generation, things have changed quite a bit.
Darn, I love a good Norwegian joke.
Okay, be careful where you tread here. So you like Philadelphia from a European point of view. What's another town that we should be mindful of when we get a chance to visit it that we can get a slice of Europe?
Well, I think, a lot of people do big road trips. That's really popular for Americans. We love the road trip. And one of the best is the California Pacific Coast Highway. And there's a town in the Santa Barbara County called Solvang. Have you ever heard of Solvang?
I have heard of Solvang. I've heard of Solvang in Norway.
Okay. So this is actually a Danish. It was founded by Danish immigrants in, like, of course, 1910, not too long ago, but,
right.
And they wanted their own place. So all the buildings are of Danish architecture. They even have windmills. They have a thatched roof. It goes a little towards that kitschy side that you were talking about. But this is still a Danish town. And, you can get the Danish pancakes everywhere. There's 40 shops. 20 of them sell the, what is it, Ebelskiver? How do you pronounce that? Do you know?
I don't know, but it sounds tasty.
Ebelskiver. Puffy. Yeah. And but then, if you're going through during their wonderful festivals, this is truly a Danish town. So, and it's just so charming because you're going through one, beachside city after the next, and it's that California laid-back feel. And then, boom, you're in Europe.
Samantha Brown hosts Places to Love on Public TV, and her website is samantha-brown.com. We're looking for bits of Europe and North America right now on Travel with Rick Steves. John in Trenton, New Jersey, emails us about a favorite stop of his that's only a couple hours' drive from where he lives. My favorite place for a feel of Great Britain is in Cape May, New Jersey. The homes are mostly Victorian. In November, they have a Sherlock Holmes weekend. In December, it's Charles Dickens Christmas. There's a B&B named the Queen Victoria with themed rooms such as the Crown Jewel, Westminster, Prince Albert, Windsor, Prince of Wales, and a whole bunch of royal names. And Cape May is a must-see, America's original seaside resort. So there's a slice of Great Britain in New Jersey.
Oh, yeah. I've never been. I've only seen pictures. We've wanted to do an episode just based on that great city because people love it. And for good reason, just the way he explained it.
Charles Dickens.
Oh, my gosh.
Charles Dickens Christmas in Jersey. For me, a slice of Britain up in the Northwest is Victoria, B.C. We've got a fast boat from Seattle that goes to Victoria every day. And it's just like dropping into England, jolly old England up there. And you go to the fancy hotel and you have your cream tea and, you got your double-decker buses. They still talk fondly about how the Queen visited.
I wonder how they pronounce scone. Is it scone or is it scone? That's always the real test.
Scone or scone. It's long gone if it's on my plate.
That's what someone in Ireland said. It's a scone when it's gone. It's gone.
That's good. Let's see. We got good emails here. Barrett in Dallas writes, and he says, my wife and I cherish finding family-run restaurants in Europe that provide excellent food, pleasant slow service, and beautiful hospitality. I can still remember our incredible waiter serenading us with funny Spanish sayings on a quiet plaza in Cordoba while his wife cooked. Or being jammed cheek to jowl in a hole in the wall in Rome for the best slice of pizza. These experiences are here in America, too. From an Italian family-run pizza joint to a husband and wife from Lebanon that run our favorite Mediterranean place. That's a very good tip from Barrett in Dallas that you can get that European ambiance in restaurants generally run by people from those countries.
Yeah, and the best place to find first-generation Americans cooking their food? Strip mall restaurants. So I have always loved strip mall restaurants because it's where you will find those Lebanese restaurants. They're usually first-generation Americans. They can't afford the downtowns of the city. They're in these kind of offshoot places next to a bad video shop or, whatever, a dollar store. And yet you get Cambodian food. You get Lebanese food. You get not just like the overall Mexican. You get Ecuadorian food. My husband and I will always sort of like troll. We'll just go in one strip mall after the other to get this little pocket of vibrancy you had no idea existed.
So I love that, Sam. That's such a smart insight. And it makes total sense because if it's a hardworking immigrant, first-generation immigrant family, they don't have the capital to get a fancy restaurant location, but they can offer an exciting service in a low-rent place in a strip mall.
Mm-hmm.
This is Travel with Rick Steves. We're talking with Samantha Brown, and her show is Places to Love on public television, and she's got a new season out. You can see it all over the United States, and our email address is radio@ricksteves.com. Eric in Boston emails us, and Eric writes, "There are many cute restaurants, brasseries, and bistros to remind me of my travels in France, and I'm all about a good croque madame. But when I really need my France fix, I head to Canada. Montreal and Quebec City really feel French. I really encourage your listeners to take a quick, cheap trip north when France is calling." Sam, what about French culture in Montreal and Quebec City?
Yeah, couldn't agree more. In fact, when I arrive in Montreal, which is an all of 2-hour flight, I still feel jet lagged. That's how much of Europe it really brings back. And Montreal is a beautiful city. It also has the largest public works art project in the world called Cité Mémoire. Have you ever heard of this,
Rick? No, I haven't.
It's an absolute must for everyone listening right now. With 80 projectors, they project the history of Montreal onto old buildings in the old city. And through an app, you hear this wonderful story and you walk through alleyways that are completely lit up, that are actually triggered by your own footsteps. All of a sudden, the projector comes on and it tells the story. It is unbelievable and unlike anything anyone has ever seen. And it's free, which I love.
And that. What's it called again?
That's Cité Mémoire. It celebrates the history of Montreal. Yeah.
We're just about out of time, Sam. We could talk forever, but I want to ask you, okay, give me one place and one experience here in the United States that would take me to, let me recreate that cultural experience of a foreign culture. What's your favorite?
Fredericksburg, Texas. Main Street right there is a wine garden operated by a family-owned winery. Big picnic tables, children, families, couples all out enjoying wine and cheese and meat. And it's a wonderful experience just right there on the Main Street.
Sort of a European conviviality right there in Texas.
Exactly, where everyone is invited, families as well.
Ah, nice. Samantha Brown, thank you so much for joining us. Congratulations with Places to Love, and look forward to talking to you again sometime soon.
Thank you, Rick. Such a pleasure talking to you.
Adventures just this side of the Arctic Circle are next on Travel with Rick Steves, with a guide to backcountry Iceland. And just ahead, a travel writer's nightmare cruise into the most dangerous section of the coast of Norway. Cheney Kwok's goal to view the northern lights turned into something much more dramatic to write about.